Hey everyone, welcome back after a 2 week hiatus. This is We Watch Stuff, episode 33. This is Jeremy. Shahid's joining me on the other end.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I enjoyed a weekend of Magic Mike, and I'm ready to talk some Comic Con.
See, that's what I saw your check in, and I was like, you know what? I wanted to talk about that, but I don't think we're going to get to it. Maybe we can tie it into the Marvel conversation that hopefully will be later this week. So just keep your memories of Magic Mike burned in your head for right now. And because just as a quick disclaimer, I didn't mind the first one. So there's that. but we're not here to talk about Magic Mike Channing Tatum. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. That's another name I used to get backwards. Well, not another name, but just a name I used to mess up. We're here, as Shahid said, Comic-Con just ended. Depending on what side of the fence, if you're one of these DC versus Marvel people, depending on what side of the fence you're on, this was either the coolest weekend ever, as it should have been at least, or you just didn't care, which I don't know if there's too many regular people, I guess, that are either or when it comes to the movies. So, obviously, we're talking about the previews that came out on Saturday, and then late Saturday, and then on Monday, one of them got an official release, and, you know, we're talking about Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, which I'm not crazy about that title, but who cares, and then Suicide Squad. I guess we should start with Batman Superman just because that's what came first.
You want to start or you want me to start?
I think we agree on it. Either one. You feel free. Feel free.
I have feelings. Like, who saw it first and told the other person about it? Did I see it first and told you, or was it vice versa?
I told you about it. No, wait a minute.
No, I told you because I was out shopping.
Yes. Yeah, and I was working on the house. Yes.
Yeah. And I was out shopping at the mall and I saw it. And my jaw just dropped. And I told you about it, and like 2 minutes later, you had the similar reaction.
what I wrote to you, the holy shit, was exactly what I said during the preview, loudly. I mean, what more do you want? I don't know. All right, and I always go back to this. When we were little, can you imagine? I mean, I'm amped up for it, and I'm 41 years old. Can you imagine what an 11-year-old or 12-year-old kid has to be going through looking at something like that?
Yeah, like, we were kids, and we always had to talk, what if Batman fought Superman? And they talked about it in the comics for a zillion years, but you would never think you would actually see it in a movie. And now you're seeing it in a movie, like a big-budget movie with big-budget stars. And it's, you know what's so hilarious about it? One of the main complaints about Man of Steel was the ending and like all the damage and the carnage and destruction, and it was about like he did with no consequence. That's not what Superman is about. And how does this trailer start with that exact same thing people were complaining about?
And what actually is the crux of the movie, at least in the trailer. Okay, now real quick. Based on the trailer, everything that happens in that seemingly looks like it's either the very beginning of the movie or near the very end. All the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine that this is going to be them fighting the entire time. Especially if you read some of the spoilers, which I've tried to back off of now. Because there are other villains. And for those who didn't realize it, Jesse Eisenberg is actually Lex Luthor. I just get the feeling like the whole armored Batman versus Superman is the beginning of the movie, like the first hour or so. Because no, superheroes don't fight and then stay angry at each other. They always fight and then go, hey, wait a minute, we're on the same side.
Yeah. I'm wondering about the time frame. I'm thinking that's more like the middle. But you never know, because it's like a lot of, like you talked about before, like, is this going to be a 3-hour movie? There's a lot of stuff going on. in that little 3-minute trailer. Like, you can, you know, believably do 3 hours and still think the movie's too short.
Oh yeah, that's what I wrote to you. I was like, is this movie going to be 4 hours? I hope so. I would have no problem sitting there to watch a 3-hour movie just based off of this trailer. Now, I'll go back to it though. What more could you want out of this? And then knowing that this leads into the Justice League the year after, this is going to be great. I mean, and of course, this is all based off the reaction of a trailer. But
it's the point of a trailer.
Yeah.
To get you excited.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like, I was just pulling up something that we're going to talk about going into this. You have Batman hang, like, if you've ever played the video games, which I've not played Arkham Knight yet, if you ever played the video games, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, you know, wasn't by Rocksteady, but whatever. Batman's hanging off the side of the building. He shoots his grappling hook and swings off the side of the building at the last second because Superman does an I-beam straight at him and blows the wall away. It was incredible. It was just like the way you would play the game on your Xbox or PS3, PS4, whatever you got. I couldn't stop just watching this over and over again. I think I watched it 3 times in a row. You had pretty much, I don't want to say the whole movie in there, but there was a lot going on, going back to the 4-hour thing.
Yeah. The main thing I got from that was just how awesome Ben Affleck is as Batman. Like, I know, and it's just ironic, like, people had these doubts, like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's Ben Affleck, a Academy Award winning director, but, you know, Daredevil came out a zillion years ago, and I'm not going to forget that.
Well, let's not forget Geely.
Yeah, and just seeing him, like, you know, I think one of the differences between DC and, like, Marvel when they handle the movies is kind of like, Marvel's been more actor-driven because they don't do the whole secret identity thing. Like, you think about Batman movies, and, like, you remember all the movies, but you couldn't think, like, if I told you, pick me a time, like, how did Val Kilmer's Batman stand out? Can you pick me a moment? Or, like, what's the first thing come to your mind, like, George Clooney's Batman? It's like, oh, he had nipples on his suit. Like, you know, it's, if you don't do it the right way, then it's just easily to, like, you know, not stand out because people might get the Batman part and not the Bruce Wayne part. Or vice versa. Yeah, seeing Ben Affleck is just like almost a lunatic Bruce Wayne, as he should be. Like, just the visual. Let's just, the, like, when he said the newspaper and it was like, you know, like, you let your family die. Like, that face he made was just so insane and it's awesome. Like, I was sold just off that.
Him brooding, I mean, you felt it. And it goes back to when he was announced as Batman and everyone lost their mind. It didn't make any sense. Then the first trailer came out and it was clear as day he was going to be great at it. And in this you get to see him as Bruce Wayne, sort of saving the day. I'm not real sure what's going on there. And I know you mentioned that people complaining that there wasn't dust on his suit or something on his clothes.
Don't get me started on that nonsense.
No, that's coming in a bit.
Yeah.
But so he runs in. It's pretty clear, you know, during the Man of Steel, Wayne Enterprises loses a building in Metropolis. So that's what starts it. All right, cool. But then you see him in the bat suit in different versions. One looked like he was fighting in the desert, but it looked like it was a like pre-1950s Batman.
And it was funny, like, I was wondering, like, is that kind of, like, alternative future? Because he's fighting, like, troops that had the Superman logo on their shoulders.
Yeah. And that's what makes me wonder, they show Superman fly into, like, the tunnel or whatever, and guys kneel down to him. And I was wondering, like, if he's, not that he's leading these people, but that if it's, you know what, these crazies see him as their god now, and they form their own, lack of a better name, League of Assassins sort of thing. They formed their own, like, Superman League, so they're going to fight battles for him instead. But yeah, I mean, they're going at him, and the Batman costume looked pretty cool. And then one thing that stood out the most is when they finally show Batman fighting like regular people. He's a monster.
Yeah.
He looks intimidating, and the way he's just bouncing guys around. Wait, I mean, and this is not, and I guess this is the wrong way of thinking, I suppose, but in comparison to the Christian Bale suit that looked really stiff all the time, he looked way more fluid in this preview, like fighting like gangs of people.
That's always been the thing, like Batman movies that people never talk about. Like Batman always looks cool except for when he's fighting. Like, you know, the Michael Keaton ones, it's Michael Keaton, so he's only going to move a certain speed.
Yeah.
But that was more believable, like seeing Val Kilmer fight or George Clooney. The Christian Bale, like the first one was a bunch of jump cuts. Like you barely saw him fall. The second one you saw more action, but he always seemed like he moved kind of slow. The third one had the most believable action, and that was definitely like Batman was just punching people like he was in a bar.
Yeah.
Almost. And then you see this one, it's like, oh, he's moving like he's Batman, like he's video game Batman.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly it. And it just, it gives you, like, the goosebumps, like, all right, this is a fully realized, and, oh, I'm trying to figure out, let's kind of change subject, but with, like, the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and this is no secret, they were trying to ground everything in reality. Where it looks like this, they're like, whatever. You got this guy, he's clearly wearing some goofy suit that almost looks kind of rubberized, or Kevlar, I'm sure they'll probably come up with, or whatever new age term, not new age, but whatever new thing they want to put out there. And it doesn't matter. So it almost appears as if the suit, when he's wearing it for combat, is light and, you know, flexible, whatever. And then they can just say, well, no, this is, you know, and then when he's stationary, have a different suit that's a little more rigid.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no point in going hyper-realistic if you got Superman and Wonder Woman running around.
Yes. Exactly. And Wonder Woman driving a Lamborghini or something? I was like, hey. Damn, Diana Prince, you got some nice taste in wheels. Shit.
Yeah. And you know what the funny thing about this? People was wondering if Ben Affleck could play Batman. I'm like, and it's funny in hindsight now, he's going through a divorce. So, like, probably during the filming of the movie, like, they just got divorced, like, official, what, last week?
So, oh, no, yeah. I didn't know they were officially divorced. I thought they were going to.
10 years and one day. So I'm like, yeah, I think he got the angst down pretty good, all things considering.
Yeah. Well, the other, and I try to stay away from this stuff, but it pops up in the comics stuff I read that apparently that Margot Robbie or maybe the cause of their break. I'm like, oh, God.
Wait, I thought she was busy having an affair with Will Smith. It's fun. That girl gets around.
Yeah, you know, because whenever someone's marriage that breaks up, it has to be because of somebody else. It's like, okay, you dumbasses. But, and especially if, you know, the woman's role. It can't be, whenever, like, a woman gets divorced, it's never, almost never, because you never read because, well, no, she was seeing some other guy.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
except for what's her face, what they married, like Rose McGowan. She's messing around with Robert Rodriguez, but I don't know. I know he was married. I don't know if she was. I know she was dating somebody else. So,
I wish we were doing a different show because what the hell happened to her? But anyways,
Robert Rodriguez happened.
Yeah. Well, that Conan movie happened too. That might have been another reason. Try to chop your face up because you were in that hunk of shit. But no, it, looking at the movie, I mean, if there's a solid criticism, like a constructive or non-constructive, what would be the one thing in the preview that had you like, wait a minute, what?
I can see why people would complain to a certain extent. Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Bane Luthor.
Yeah, that was a little. I didn't get the red capes are coming.
Yeah, I see what he's trying to do, but I can easily see why people criticize. Because one, people didn't think he fit the role anyway. Like they wanted Bryan Cranston to do it, because they heard that rumor. It's like, you picture him and like, oh, I can see him being Lex Luthor. And then you see Mark Zuckerberg. It's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. And then you see him with the goofy hair and like the funny speech tone. It's like, you know, people forget like movie Lex Luthor is always kind of like outlandish. And he wasn't necessarily evil. It's more like just sinister. I think people compare him to like comic book and cartoon Lex Luthor, which isn't the same as movie Lex Luthor. Yeah. So,
and that, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that was mine. The red capes are coming line was a little odd. Maybe it'll make more sense. But then the hair piece is what got me. I was like, that's kind of awkward. Is he just wearing that to throw people off, or I don't know why? I mean, because Lex Luthor in the original Superman movies had a hairpiece, so you know, it wouldn't be anything different, but it was just strange. It wasn't something I expected. So are we going to get like a Lex Luthor origin as well?
No, I just think, you know, like rich smart people are weirdos. So
yeah, true.
And I know they expect like, I think they do, like we said before, like the comparison, oh, like Lex Luthor is just this bald, ruthless, you know, financial genius. And I'm like, yeah, but that's comic book Lex. They obviously aren't doing that. They're doing movie Gene Hackman Lex Luthor, which was kind of like, you know, not as smart as he thinks he is, not as devious as he thinks he is, like kind of a you know, he's dangerous, but he's a blowhard.
Yeah. And also, when they reveal the kryptonite as well, I'm getting the feeling the kryptonite's probably, because that's what it was in the old comics, that, or was it a chemical fire that made him lose his hair?
It depends. Like, sometimes it was a chemical fire, sometimes Superboy was involved, sometimes it was kryptonite. I know kryptonite ended up killing him, so.
Yeah, that is probably one of the greatest origin stories, though. He has a chemical fire. He goes bald in high school, and that's why he, or junior high, whatever it was, and that's why he hates Superboy. I mean, it's so, I mean, nowadays, you'd be like, okay. He'd be like, wow, cool. And you get sympathy, you get a GoFundMe, get some money out of it. It'd be the greatest thing that could happen to you.
A GoFundMe.
Yeah. Now, but back then, oh my God, you're bald. You're deformed. Yeah, and maybe I got a you know, piece of this take to heart, but whatever. But but yeah, that, if there's anything, that's my only complaint. It was nice to see that there's some color in this movie too.
Yeah,
it well, wasn't washed. It's a little bit washed out, but not as much.
Is it? And it's funny you brought that up. And I've read it somewhere. People had this thing like, reason why Christopher Nolan movies look the way they do is because he's partially colorblind.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of like his movies are always like grayish and darkish, you know, like grayish white and dark blue. Like, he never did bright colors. And I know he had kind of like his hand was all over Man of Steel, so to speak. And this one's more like kind of hands off, as far as like, this is more like a Zack Snyder thing.
Hmm.
I always wondered about that, because it makes sense, because like, almost Christopher Nolan does not believe in bright colors whatsoever.
No, because I'm thinking even Interstellar, there wasn't a whole lot of brightness.
In any of his movies, like Inception, what's the magician movie?
The Prestige.
Prestige, yeah, or even Insomnia, or Memento, for that matter. Like, you didn't see a lot of color for the most part.
Not to go off on the Christopher Nolan thing, but what a weird career trajectory. He starts off with some movie I've never watched on Netflix, does Memento, then gets Batman Begins, The Prestige, Batman, you know, Dark Knight, in the Inception, the next Batman, Interstellar. It's like, you're the guy that made Memento? Like, that, what a weird, weird career takeoff.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like that, you know. He's one of those type where he makes big budget indie movies, if the best way to describe it. It's kind of like stuff that you wouldn't think of as a big budget movie. At least it's not like the Wachowskis. They went from doing Bound to the damn Matrix.
That's true. And then they went to making horrible movies. So,
But I will, back to Batman, yeah, Superman. Yeah. I do like that, you know, finally see Wonder Woman in action, and you don't have to hear about, oh, she's too never. I thought, oh, she's too skinny, or she didn't fit the role. I was like, she looks perfectly fine, and that's a hard-ass role to get right. So,
she looked fine. All right, that was one thing in the preview. That big atomic explosion-looking, that was her clanging her bracelets together.
Yeah,
God, that's cool. I don't know if I ever remember her doing that in the comics.
No, it's always been like, you know, defensive. Like blocking stuff. Yeah. Never. Oh, I'm just making explosions. So.
But yeah, that was pretty sweet. So, it's. I guess because maybe this is Marvel's fault. Marvel. As much as they could, I suppose, played their movies close to the source material. I mean, yes, they changed out Vietnam or whatever it was for Iron Man for Afghanistan. Or whatever made-up country they decided to go with. You know, Captain America was pretty close to the source material, all that sort of stuff. But then DC comes in, and they're changing it around. And I think that's what gets some of the furor up.
Yeah, I call it Fox Syndrome. Because what's the main complaints about, and we'll probably talk about it later, like Wednesday, what's the main complaints about X-Men movies? Not that they're not good movies, it's just that they dick around with the source material so much that even some people can't get past that. And you hear the complaints with these movies, like, oh, that's not how I remember. I'm like, if it's good, you can do what you, I'm always been of the belief, if it makes sense and it's a good movie, you can do whatever the hell you want. Cause you talk about stuff that has, we're talking about 80 years worth of storylines.
Yeah.
You know, is it really, I mean, like now they got Superman running around with skinny jeans and a tank top.
Yeah. Concentrate on the movies, yeah, not what the comics are doing wrong.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you can, if you're doing this, and if you're building on this whole universe that you're doing now, then fine. Like they're doing a movie, like Marvel, you know, did a cinematic universe and everyone gives them credit with that because it fits the comics and it makes sense the movies. Fox does the same thing with X-Men and their movie universe for the most part. Their stuff makes sense. So if DC want to do like, you know what, we're taking basis from the comics, but we're going to do like our thing and we'll stay consistent with it. Somebody put like, good example, somebody put a side-by-side screenshot of the last fight with Superman and Zod to the trailer of Batman versus Superman when you see Bruce Wayne in the building, and it match up shot for shot, like, perfectly.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You know, like, yeah. Like it, and I'm like, wow, because it's kind of like people, it, I don't want to give them too much credit, like, they knew this, how they want to plan it, but kudos for them to make it match. Like, it builds upon what a lot of people are complaining about. Like, you know, you got this madman running around blowing up buildings, not caring about people. Or what's everyone going to do? And I guess you find out.
And it's funny because you mentioned that, you know, maybe they didn't plan it that way. And that's been DC's biggest problem, is everyone saying, well, they're just putting these movies out hodgepodge. And it's like, well, they got this. You got the TV shows that don't match up to the movies, and then you've got, you know, they're doing everything backwards. They're doing it wrong, and it's like, well, maybe this trailer instilled a lot of confidence in me that DC's actually doing something right, because I was kind of on the fence with it. I mean, we even talked about it before, how the TV shows are just killing it right now, which I don't know if we'll be able to get to today, but you know, we will in another show. As we've been, I think, been talking about since we started this podcast, talking about the DC TV shows. But seeing like the bigger picture, I was surprised to see Zod's body in this preview.
Yeah.
I figured that was a one-off. I mean, I'm not expecting him to come back from the dead or anything, but it was still a surprise. So that it basically, Man of Steel, whether it was on purpose or not, did lay the foundation. And, you know, as we brought up before, the end of Man of Steel purposely, well, not purposely, but is now the crux for the DC universe, which is how, you know, Detective Comics way back started. Superman was the first superhero, and he was the first superhero comic, so it's kind of fitting now that for DC's universe, he's the first, that he's the catalyst for all these other characters now.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, people give so much credit to Marvel with theirs. I'm like, yeah, they planned it, but all of that was on the contingency that Iron Man worked. Otherwise, you just got Samuel Jackson there talking about the Avengers, and you don't see anything after it. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't work, then all that, you know, universe planning doesn't mean squat. It's like, you know, Green Lantern had a post-credit scene. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to see Mark Strong as Sinestro anytime soon.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out of that theater fast enough.
Yeah, so, you know, if you do it by accident or you have a plan, if it works, it works. Because a lot of great things in entertainment happen by accident. And no one cares about it except for when you have trivia.
I was trying to think what else was in this preview that just stood out. I mean,
well, two parts for me. One, his mom basically saying, you know what, son, you do whatever the hell you want to do. If you want to be a hero, that's fine. And if you don't, that's fine too. Like, you don't owe these people anything. And I heard a lot of people complain about that. I'm like, look, that's his mom.
Yeah, I mean, mom's going. Yeah.
And like, you know, this is the same family where dad's like, you know what, the first man is still like, sometimes maybe he's not ready to save people. Like, oh, should I let those kids die? Well, maybe. And he sacrificed himself because he thought people wasn't ready. So it's kind of like, it's not like this is out of nowhere. Like, that family has strong belief system about doing the right thing, regardless of sacrifice.
I'm figuring that this Ma and Pa Kent were some severe libertarians. That's the only way I can see that. I can't see them, like, voting Republican or Democrat for sure. No way. Probably because, you know, that was one thing I didn't like about Man of Steel, not to go back to that, was, you know, Pa Kent sacrificing himself. I'm like, really? It's like, there was probably a better way to do this, but that's in the past, can't change, doesn't matter. So, yeah, but hearing her say that, it did harken back to that, his speech about letting the kids in the bus die, which was still pretty harsh line. Because, I mean, you're not talking about a bunch of senior citizens on the way out. You're talking about a school bus full of kids who, like, maybe have a future ahead of them.
Yeah, like, I mean,
not that they're going to turn into anything, but...
Yeah, you know, like, oh, you say those kids, now he's going to be a manager at IHOP. Whoop-de-doo.
Yes. Well, that guy does turn into a bad guy eventually, so...
See, maybe he should have let him die.
Yeah, if he comes back as conduit, well, nice job, Dick. You should have listened to your dad. Well, actually, that happened after the fact, but that's the same thing with any major tragedy. Everyone's, like, sad about everyone that died. And you know what? I'm guaranteeing that 50% of those people, there's a bunch of people that are real happy that they're gone. And yes, I said 50%. So, maybe 25. I'll back off to 50%. But
yeah. So that was one. And then the other thing, little small thing, Jeremy Irons is Alfred. I was always a fan, like, non-Butler version Alfred. I think that's the only one of the few things that horrible TV show Gotham got right was Alfred being a badass. And just seeing, like, because I know people was wondering, like, you know, he doesn't seem the type, and just having him there is just, first you got to have somebody English or British, and it fits. And he doesn't look like the whole, like, I'm going to feed you crumpets and all that. He seems like, you know, I've seen some stuff type Alfred. Yeah. And it matches with Ben Affleck's Batman, because this not, you know, like, I'm fresh out of, you know, the Batcave Batman. This is, oh, Robin died, I've been retired, and now this crazy-ass alien Superman running around, like, I'm deranged version Batman. So
it seemingly took a part of the Gotham Alfred, but also the graphic novels, the Earth One graphic novels that came out a year or two ago, where they reimagined, you know, Batman, and Alfred was a badass in those. And I think he even ends up shooting one of the main villains and kills him in the first one.
Cartoon Network, when they had what show, when it was Batman and Katana, like, that Alfred was like, you know, ex-Special Forces or something like that. Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot Jeremy Irons was in it. So that took me by surprise. I was like, oh, that's right. Totally forgot. That was one of the more interesting things, which is nice because it actually does round us into the next preview. They showed the Robin outfit, and it said, haha, joke's on you. Now, at first I didn't know what suit it was, but then, like, once they did the still, it clearly had an R on it for Robin. So what I'm trying to figure out is which one it's going to be, because in the comics, he killed Jason Todd. And then Jason Todd somehow came back from the dead and becomes Red Hood. And then they've got the newspaper with You Let Your Family Die, which I'm figuring is the Joker doing that. You know, kind of the similar writing. But what if it's like the Red Hood instead? It's just something totally different to throw you off.
Yeah, I've heard some people speculate that too. So,
because I think that'd be real balls if they killed Dick Grayson off. Because then you couldn't even do, like, a offshoot movie with Nightwing or anything. I mean, Red Hood, who gives a shit? Because no one's really, you know, the populace isn't that familiar with Jason Todd. Mm-hmm. But the populace is familiar with who Dick Grayson is.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. And I think that was the one thing, and I'm sure it'll be explained, but it seemed like Batman had been around for a while and then stopped. Now Superman's dragging him back out. Because he even makes mention, you know, it's like, how many people were good and stayed good, or how many of them are left, and how many stayed good, or something like that. So, that's why I asked if this is a 4-hour movie, because there is a lot going on. And, alright, besides Lex Luthor's hair, how you feel about them showing Batman's damn origin again?
I mean, if they're going, okay, look, if they show, and this is like 30 seconds, maybe, like I said, Zack Snyder want to get Jeffrey Dean Morgan a check, so I'm not hating on that. Like, look, thanks for being a good comedian and Watchmen. I'm going to throw you some loot real fast. Rock this cool 50s era mustache and get shot.
And then your pseudo kid does all the heavy lifting. Thanks, man.
Like, I know, like, it's laughable, like, how many people, like, even people in comas have seen, you know, the Waynes get shot. But at least it's not like you gotta do the whole order. Like, I doubt you see him growing up training in the Batcave. So, yeah, if he gets shot and they keep him moving, then fine.
That's what I'm hoping it is. It's like, is maybe once him and Clark finally settle down, and he's like, well, yeah, I know who you are, and then they talk about something, I don't know. And they just do it real quick like that. That'd be fine.
Like, you know, like Blade did it. Like, you know, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
But one thing I noticed is kind of like almost people seem to know who other people, you know, like you see the Joker's mailing stuff to Bruce Wayne. Like, he knows he's Batman. It's rumors that, like, you know, Batman and Wonder Woman know who each other are. So it's almost kind of like we're stepping into stuff that's, it's not necessarily origin stuff for these characters. It's kind of like they've been around. You just haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to see them in this movie, which is refreshing.
Well, see, that's what I'm... All right, going back to the Joker part, and then we can slide this into the next preview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know... And this is where we are going to actually have to watch the movie. You know, eventually, come March, we're going to have to watch the movie to fill in all the blanks. But it almost seems to me that the Joker stuff that happens in Suicide Squad actually takes place before the Superman-Batman stuff. And that would make sense to why Batman shows up in the movie, because as they released the HD trailer today, which has way more detail than someone's shitty cell phone bouncing all over the place, Suicide Squad looks like more of an origin story, obviously, but for everybody involved. And what I'm getting at is, it almost seems like the Joker did something to Batman in Suicide Squad or before Batman Superman, and it just coincides with all that time. Like, he was still Batman as Bruce Wayne when Man of Steel happened, or maybe he had just gotten out, and then Joker pops up, him and whatever Robin happens, and he actually hands him that piece of paper. And, like, the let your family die thing has nothing to do with the building falling, but actually with Robin dying.
I wonder, because you see Batman pop up in the Suicide Squad trailer. I'm wondering how much time, because it's fine. Like, the movies are linked, but it's almost like Suicide Squad maybe happened like a while before Batman versus Superman. Because, like, you see, it's funny, like, we can't talk about one without the other. Like, you see Wayne Manor's like, you know, it's seen better days. Like, how long has Batman not been Batman? Has it been like, you know, maybe 2 years or 10 years, like 5-10 years? Like, you really don't know until you watch really almost both movies. And it's from like I would have never guessed Suicide Squad would be the next movie following Batman versus Superman, but seeing both trailers and seeing how they're matching stuff up, it seems like it makes sense. Like, they have more in common than just, you know, Batman and the Joker.
Yeah. Okay, so a little backstory for those who didn't know. There was an actual cell phone video of the trailer. They apparently, supposedly, which I'm starting to not buy, they weren't going to release the Suicide Squad trailer at all. That was supposed to be only for Comic-Con, which seems like a dumb idea, because they always leak. They always do. So when it finally popped up today, I meant to have this up. Who's playing Amanda Waller?
Viola Davis.
She's awesome.
Yes, she is.
All right. I don't know if she's put on weight, because I'm not that familiar with her. Viola Davis, there she is. Now, is she the one that's in that How to Get Away with Murder?
That's correct.
Okay. She looks like she put on weight for Suicide Squad then.
Yes, she did, because she's normally thinner than that. She probably put on maybe at least 50, it's hard to tell with women, but probably at least 15 pounds, 15 to 20.
And then she had the Amanda Waller, like, unkept hair, just putting it back in a bun haircut.
Yeah.
Made me so happy.
She said she was a fan of the character. You know, some people say it, and it's like kind of, they just saying it to say it, but, you know, she seems like she's a fan of the character.
Yeah, I mean, the way she was talking to the general, he's like, what'd you do with these people? I put them in a hole and threw away the hole.
Such an awesome line.
Yeah, I was like, wow. And then they're going over the different levels of the prison. It's one of the girders says firm but fair. Just like little dick lines like that. I was like, oh my god. And you can't compare the two trailers because they're totally different things. I mean, one really doesn't have any redeeming characters. Although, they kind of made Will Smith out to be somewhat likable. And I'm basing that on a scale of no one's likable in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Amanda Waller's not, to be honest.
Oh. She's like, oh, well, they're here to take the fall. That's what they're here for. We got complete deniability.
Yeah.
Like, what if something go wrong? So?
Yeah. What are they going to do? Say we work for the government? Who's going to believe them? I mean, it's almost perfect.
I mean, it's just weird seeing that movie. That's how, you know, villains, like, it's almost like, it's just weird seeing that, because it's like a big budget movie around a bunch of villains, and there are no good guys. Like, it's bad versus worse.
Okay, and that's what it seemed. It was like, you go through all these guys. You've got Killer. They didn't really name anybody, though.
Mm.
They just showed
it. Just saw
it.
Picture, yeah.
But, it's, you know, as they went from Harley Quinn hanging upside down, Diablo, I believe that's Diablo. Okay. Let's see.
And he's thin dead shot. See him punching in a punching bag.
Yeah, and then, but you had all the characters. And then at the end, you've got the King Daddy of the bad guys shows up. So it was like a slow progression. Like, all right, you're not going to like this person. You're not going to like them. You're not going to like them. You're really not going to like them. You're not going to like them. Oh, by the way, you're going to hate this guy. So it's such a strange movie to make, especially with a bunch of characters that people don't really know outside of the Joker.
Yeah. People know the Joker and Harley, and probably Harley Quinn to a certain extent, and that's really about it. Unless you like watch the Batman cards, and even then, like I know somewhat of DC. I've watched the Batman cartoon and stuff like that, so I know who the Batman characters are. Until Arrow came, I didn't know who Katana was. Rick Flag and all these other, and Diablo, they're just names.
Diablo is a newer addition. I don't remember him ever being around until the New 52 started for DC, and he was part of the Suicide Squad. So he's kind of a blank slate. I'm trying to pull it up. But one thing I did see that made me happy was John Ostrander, who was the original writer of Suicide Squad in the 80s and 90s. He helped write this movie, too.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, they haven't said who Scott Eastwood is yet. I didn't even see him in the trailer, actually. What was I looking up? Yes, El Diablo. Oh, okay, Slipknot's the other guy. Okay. The generic-looking guy with the shooting guns. Not Joel Kinsman. Who plays Rick Flag.
Yeah, Jai Courtney still getting checks. Lord have mercy.
Hey.
Oh, can I get a quick aside?
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know when it clicked that was the same guy that was on season one of Spartacus, that was the chubby blonde guy. I'm like, out of all the people from the Spartacus cast, this is the one that's like, you know what, we're going to make him a star. And I don't care how many times we tried, even Sam Worthington's like, look, who's your agent? Because he's been in a zillion movies, and the only thing that I get from him is kind of, he's there. Like, you know, I guess maybe because he can hide his accent better than Liam McIntyre, and he doesn't look as ethnic as Mandu Bennett, so that's why he has that career. But I'm like, all the people from Spartacus, like, he didn't stand out in Spartacus that much, and there was a lot of people from Spartacus that stood out, but somehow he's going to be Mr. Hollywood Action Man.
You were the one that told me he was the blonde guy in Spartacus.
Yeah.
I had no clue that was the same guy.
I didn't either, and I only, because I was like, I looked in the credits, and then I saw that name. Then I was like, oh, he was in Spartacus. I'm like, who was he in Spartacus? Then I looked back, and I'm like, whoa. This guy was fat, pudgy, and had a perm. Like, they did not even look like him at all. Except for, like, the face was a little the same. I would have never, like, if you show Jai Courtney from Spartacus and put him next to Jai Courtney from any other thing he's been in, you would never guess that's the same person.
No. I think anyone with a Goldilocks haircut and then all of a sudden cuts it all off, that's a big career move. That would be one thing for sure. But then also, he's wearing clothes, because half the time on Spartacus, you don't recognize the guys. Because the first, they're usually shaved up, and then second, they're wearing actual real clothes instead of a loincloth or a blanket. So, okay. We kind of jumped right in. What did you think? Like, was it how did the Suicide Squad trailer hit you? Did it hit you like Superman Batman did? Did it leave you wanting more?
It was different. Like, Superman Batman got me excited to, I want to see both movies. Superman Batman was like, wow, like, this is amazing. This one was just like, how are they gonna pull this off? Not like in a bad way. It just seemed. And I remember you just asking, like, is this going to be an R-rated movie? And it's, I don't think we've seen a movie like this. Like, I don't know how to talk about without jumping into something, but I'll say Marvel would never do a movie like this. They would do a TV show that was kind of like this, but they're not going to mess with that PG-13 money. Fox would, because they take more risks, like, you know, regardless of what you think about Deadpool. Like, the Wolverine was know, Hugh Jackman and a bunch of Japanese people no one heard of. Marvel would never, you know, Marvel wouldn't take that type of risk, because it's kind of like, you know, we know what type of movie we want to see. You do this, this, and this. You can make it different, but it still got to fit, because we got to make our such and such money. And this one is kind of like, you know, you got Will Smith, but it's not 2005 Will Smith. It's 2015 Will Smith, and you see him walk around half the time with a, you know, dressed like Shaft, and the other time he's bald with a scraggly beard. Like, he barely looks like Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And then you got all these other people that's kind of like, oh, it's that guy. Oh, it's RoboCop. Oh, it's the girl from Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, it's the guy from this. And then, you know how polarizing the Joker's going to be, because it's kind of like, oh. And we go through this every time, like, oh, you can't do this. Like, Heath Ledger was the guy from First Night and or whatever, A Knight's Tale. He can't touch what Jack Nicholson did. And that's like, you know, Jared Leto can't touch what Heath Ledger. Like, look at him. He's got a grill, and he's got this and this, and you can't do it. I'm like, look. It definitely stood out seeing it, and it's kind of like, yeah, I can see him being the Joker. How he'll play in the movie, we won't know until we see the movie. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the movie and find out. And seeing Batman on the top of the car, like, okay, I want to see how Batman fits in this.
Yeah. I had nothing but positives coming out of this. One thing that surprised me was how downplayed Will Smith actually was, though. A lot of the action centered around Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of still shots of them walking, so it's like, you know, they don't want to show anything. But that was the one thing that surprised me, was Will Smith kind of like a background player. You know, he got the most dialogue outside of, you know, the Joker cameo at the end. Now, what I was trying to do before we've been talking is try to find the budget for this movie. Originally, it was supposed to be $30 to $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's no confirmed budget, but it's probably about $100 million. And the
it still seems cheap.
And that's what I was thinking and wondering if... And I asked you this before, and I told you not to answer. Is there any chance this could possibly be rated R?
I mean, if you're gonna do a rated R movie, this is the one to do it. It's like, you know, because David Ayer is a rated R. He's a hardcore director. Like, he doesn't really do. Has he done a PG-13 movie? Like,
let me check.
Can't think of one. I know Sabotage was definitely rated R. Fury was probably rated R. I'm guessing
Fury definitely was. Yes. He wrote
that,
Training Day, so
yeah, that was R. And then even the one with what's his face, the All cop right. movie, and The Watch. I think that was R. So
everything he's done has been R.
Yeah.
He's only directed 6 movies. Harsh Times, which sounds familiar, but oh, that was a Christian Bale one. Okay.
Heard of that? Never saw it.
I don't know if I saw that, but I know the movie. Street Kings.
Okay, Keanu Reeves. I remember. I wasn't sure if he directed that or not, but I remember
that. That makes sense. Well, he's got some pretty decent stuff. As an aside, because I was gonna say it looked like something he would have done. I watched that Man from U.N.C.L.E. trailer, that the Comic-Con one, and I kept thinking that looks like a Guy Ritchie movie. Well, then I watched a different preview today, and it said a Guy Ritchie film. I was like, I'm getting good at this.
Yeah.
But anyways. But yeah, no, he has not made one PG-13 movie. I'm trying to even look at different movies he's written. He helped write Fast and the Furious. That was rated R, the original one, though. I believe, wasn't it?
That was PG-13.
Oh, it was. All right, never mind. And then U571, he was the writer, and that was rated PG-13. He's written 2 PG-13 movies and directed all R-rated.
Mm.
But it's even $100 million, I know that's a lot, but as soon as people see the Joker, they see Batman on this thing, won't it still be able to drum up past an R rating as far as... I think I started my sentence in the middle there. Is it going to have enough? Because it comes after Batman Superman. So is it going to have enough juice to where an R rating, and not saying that they need to be swearing left and right, but have like a more, not accurate because it's still a comic book movie, but a little more edgy, more violent take on it. I'm okay. expecting like Punisher Warzone well, where people's heads are exploding all the time, but yeah. just something along those lines.
Like Blade, basically.
Yeah, because the characters involved are... I mean, Killer Croc is going to end up eating somebody, probably. So wouldn't that be just sweet all of a sudden, just bite someone's head off? I mean, said no decapitation.
You got a movie with a cast, let me see, an expert marksman and assassin, a psychopathic supervillain, a crazed supervillain who's in love with the Joker, an Australian assassin who utilizes deadly boomerangs, a supervillain who suffers from a skin condition that causes him to develop reptilian features, an expert martial artist and swordswoman. Yeah, I'm like, if you're going to do a R-rated DC movie and half the cast is like assassin or psychopath, this is the movie to do it. And if you talk about, you know, $100 million is a lot of money. Not anymore, it's not, because you see, like, we talked about Fast 7, but with like $250, like, yeah, you do comic movies now, $100 is cheap. Like, the tentpole ones are like $200 to $300 million, you know, between budget and marketing and everything like that. So, and it sunk on me too. You brought up like Will Smith just being, I never thought of him being a background character because he just always like sucks up the air. Not in a bad way, but he's like Will Smith. He's, that's what movie stars do. Like Christian Bale's the only movie star where he can kind of blend in with everything. Everybody else is kind of like, when he's there, you see him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he shows up in the trailer, trust me, you're like, oh, it's Will Smith. Mm-hmm. But then he doesn't take over the trailer. It wasn't like every shot of him saying something, or it wasn't focused on him. Now, mind you, Deadshot shows up in costume. It's supposed to be him, but, you know. But I just think, you know, with Deadpool being R, which we'll talk about later this week, that this is probably DC's, and like you said, this is their best shot at it. Because even if they come out with like the Supernatural stuff, that's going to have to be PG-13 to justify a budget. I'm just trying to figure out if DC will have the balls enough, or, you know, Warner Brothers, they've got the final say. I just wonder if they're going to have the leeway to allow Batman to be in an R-rated movie as well, though.
It's hilarious. Batman, the King of Bloodless Violence. And they were about, like, almost all his movies should have been rated R. Definitely the Tim Burton movies and the Christian Bale movies were R-rated movies. They just took the blood out. Like, Batman Returns, he's fighting a clown, takes some dynamite, sticks him on the clown, drop kicks him into an alley, and he blows up. How is that PG-13, Mr. I Don't Kill People?
I know you mentioned Dark... Wait. Which one did you mention? I want to make sure I'm not going to say
Batman
the same thing.
Batman Returns, okay. The second Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
When he's killing people. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or you've got Dark Knight Rises at the end where cops and the criminals are just rushing at each other, and the criminals are shooting cops, and they're just falling to the ground like they just got shot with a BB gun. They're like, this would have been a massacre.
Yeah.
So it just... It seems like it'd be all right, especially if it's just a cameo by Batman. You know, he's obviously not going to be in the whole thing. I'm hoping we get the interaction between him and Waller, which is one of the more famous things in the comics. But I don't know, it left me intrigued, and then really, as soon as I heard that Joker laugh, I got the goosebumps. I was like, oh my god, this sounds like the Joker is supposed to sound. And I'm not knocking Heath Ledger in that.
Yeah,
And the grills will actually, I know it's going to end up making sense, the metal teeth he has, because they're not uniform. So clearly he got his teeth bashed in.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And I guess I'm getting defensive because I happen to pull up... I don't know why I do this or why we're going to do this, but
yeah, we might as well.
People's reactions to this stuff.
Oh, good Lord. Like,
right, first off, Twitter is useless. You either don't know what the other person's talking about half the time, Cameron Hawkins, or you just see people who are judging shit for no reason. They just want to say nasty shit. Let's see. This is off an EW site. Or entertainment. No, E. Oh, that would explain. I'm on E's site. Jesus. Well, anyways, it says, don't want to criticize Suicide Squad before anyone has even seen it, but the trailer looked like it's for Hot Topic, the motion picture. Alright. Somebody. This is all Twitter reactions. I'm not reading the people's names. The Joker reveal in Suicide Squad trailer is proof that people at Comic-Con will literally applaud anything. Not only a shot at the Joker, the Suicide Squad movie, but the people who actually enjoyed it. Some guy, Suicide Squad is going to suck. Suicide Squad is doing nothing for me. Am I done with the comic movie thing, or is it just DC? Harley doesn't have an accent. Why must DC hate fun?
It's funny you brought up Cam, because he had a discussion about something, because he basically made a point on Facebook, like, you know, if you weren't the type that complained about Hugh Jackman not being 5'5" to play Wolverine, then stop complaining about Johnny Storm not being black and talking about canon. And why did two comic nerds basically completely miss the point? This thing goes, oh, well, you know, Wolverine is really 5'3" in the comics. And I'm like, you get the point he's making, right? I'm like, people just want to complain just to complain. And I know I have far less tolerance about it than you, because I'm the whole thing. Like, we both had our concerns about this movie, both of the movies, because it's kind of like, you know, DC is kind of shaking stuff. The trailers is kind of like, you know, they did the best. They both had me excited to see the movie. They hear people complaining, Ben Affleck, he didn't have enough dust on his shirt, or you know, why is Superman standing there like Jesus? Why don't he just, like, when they paint the rock with the white S and you see Superman standing there, why is he posing like Jesus? Why he's not saving? Why they make Ma Kent an evil bitch? Blah, blah, blah. Like, people just so damn ingrates. Like, I know nostalgia is a beautiful thing, and everyone assumed, like, back in the day it was so much better now. No, it's not. Trust me. Like, I remember how things looked back in the day, and I see how things look now. I'll take now. Like, you know, you can still appreciate the Christopher Reeves movie and think he'd be the original Superman, but seeing him fly in front of, like, a blue matte painting compared to what they're doing now, and you're trying to tell me then is no. You're looking through nostalgia when you were, like, 12 years old, when you're still eating crayons and you thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And then you're comparing it to, you know, your cynical 31-year-old that's still, you know, you're mad at life because you didn't do what you wanted to do in life. So you're going to take it out on Zack Snyder because you still hate Sucker Punch.
Yeah. That's kind of, I mean, don't turn me in this conversation. Yeah, sounds like, oh, yeah, I haven't forgotten that movie.
Yeah, like, I thought Sucker Punch sucked too. But if you show me a good trailer, I'm going to give it a chance, because none of us have seen the movie. And all the stuff we've seen has shown that more than likely this movie is going to probably be, you know, awesome. Like, Ben Affleck, like, we didn't even talk about the whole point. We had enough time that Ben Affleck is going, when he does the Batman movie, he's going to write it. He's going to help write it. And with Jeff Johns, they're going to write it together. He's going to start it. Like, come on. Like, when, like, people don't realize how fortunate we have it with these comic movies. I still remember David Hasselhoff running around as Nick Fury. I remember the trash we used to have. And now just to see that, like, Academy Award-winning director Ben Affleck, like, you know what? I'm going to do a Batman movie. I'm going to get, you know, DC's top honcho to help me write it. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to star in it to make sure it's good. You still complain about his chin?
if you want, jeez, I can't believe I remember this. I was five. If you want to see how far we've come, look up Captain America TV movie in image search. That's the garbage we had to deal with, let alone like a Captain America movie, I think it was, that barely anyone's ever seen. But yeah, no, people have totally taken this stuff for granted. And then also, I honestly think that people criticizing this stuff, they're going to criticize anything. I don't, like, even the, what's Ant-Man, which I brought this up with the guys at work. Poor Ant-Man. There is no buzz about that movie now. I think it was...
I guess, and watch it makes, you know... It's almost, and it's linked to both of them. I thought it was just a DC thing. Marvel was a Marvel thing. People want them to fail.
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
want both. And it's not just, they want them both to fail. Like, it's this yep. whole, you know what? And then they're going, like, this retroactive, oh, the, you know, Christopher Nolan, those Batman movies were really overrated if you look at it. I'm like,
yep.
No, they were not. Like, come yep. on now. Like, just stop. And it's this whole thing, like, I don't know what people want. Like, okay, if their movies fail, then what you gonna do then? Like what? Okay, say, let's use an example. Ant-Man, it's not gonna bomb. It's gonna probably do well. Like, Ant-Man bombs, and then Batman versus Superman bombs. So you don't have a DC universe, and then Marvel has to retract. Like, okay, so what are you gonna watch? Because it's no other. Like, if you're a genre fan. Most of those things are wrapped up. Like, you know, I don't think they're gonna make any more Lord of the Rings movies.
God, let's hope not.
Yeah, you didn't go to see Terminator. Mm-hmm. You're just gonna complain about people making remakes that you're not gonna see, or tween movies like, you know, Maze Runner and Divergent movies that's not in your age range anyway. So, like, what are you gonna do? They're not remaking Die Hard again, and they're not going. What you gonna watch? The sequel to Blade Runner? You gonna watch Star Wars? No, you're going to do watch Star Wars and then bitch about that?
That's one thing I'm still waiting for. Because it seems like the Black Stormtrooper thing has died down. But I'm just waiting. There's going to be something when the next trailer comes out. Because they didn't release a new trailer. They just showed the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the next trailer. Someone's going to attack that thing. Not someone,
oh,
but a large...
Oh, they complained about the picture with Adam Driver. Like, why is he posting like he's a Vogue model? He's sashaying with stormtroopers in the snow. I'm like, we can't like any... Like, these people, these powerful Hollywood people who clearly want to make sure they do the right thing. Like, J.J. Abrams is bending over backwards to try to appease all these damn nerds. Like, I'm doing practical images. I'm using original sound effects. I love this just like you. And everybody's bending over backwards to do this. And people still complain like, yeah, that's nice, but it's just going to suck because everything sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I grew up when stuff sucked. So I know things are better now.
Well, we've got to try and wrap up, but it...
Yeah,
I don't think this will happen, but it's like, to me, the original Batman, not Adam West, obviously, because that, as bad as that can be to watch, that still retains its campiness to where you're like, okay, I can understand this stuff. Like, the Batman Returns, all right, they're a little dated. Batman more so than Batman Returns somehow. But you're like, all right, I can see it. The two sequels, just whatever, you know, just brush them aside. But go back to the 70s when they were trying to make this. Go back and look at Challenge of the Super Friends. For anyone who hasn't seen that, Challenge of the Super Friends is ghastly. And this is what we had to deal with. And this is like, oh my God, Challenge of the Super Friends, great. And even as a kid, you're like, this is garbage. Like, I don't ever want to see this again. They tried and tried, and it didn't work. So now we get it, and, oh my God, the Joker's got tattoos on his head. All right, it's a little weird, maybe out of character. We don't know why, and maybe he's just screwing with somebody, yeah. And they're just, you know, he is the Clown Prince, so maybe he just rubs them off when he's done.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend time trying to find about the psychological imprint of the damn Joker. He's insane. Like, is the Batman's a lunatic, and
yes.
You know, like, if you break down, and that's what I love about Ben Affleck's thing. Like, you know, they always make, oh, you know, he's just this guy trying to no. It's this madman that watched his parents die in front of him, and instead of taking his money and, like, you know, I don't know, invest in the police department or do clean energy, I'm gonna train for 20 years, dress up like a man with a bat, spend billions of dollars on this expensive ass R&D. I'm gonna spend my time making boomerangs that look like bats, walk around and beat up people. Not kill them. I'm just going to beat them up so they can't walk again. And I'm going to break arms,
breaks, sever spines, all that stuff. Oh, they'll be able to walk again, but they're alive.
Yeah. Oh, and then to modify my insanity, I'm going to enlist in kid soldiers.
Well, but also take my, well, mostly elderly butler and make him patch me up. And then if you know, he complains, go, well, you don't have to do this. Well, yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I'm kind of implicit in this now. So,
yeah, like,
but yeah, the kid army, and then the commissioner's daughter signs up, and instead of being like, "No, you better not do this," I'll tell your dad because you're not smart enough to figure out who I am. You let her go. I mean, he's a controlled, if you want to put it that way, a controlled lunacy where the Joker's just all over. And the other thing though is, like, you know, having your parents get killed and you go about and you build a bunch of windmills, really not as sexy as dressing as a bat and driving a badass car all over the place.
Yeah.
So I gotta understand that. You know what? I'm gonna get back at him by building a bunch of solar panels. Nah.
Yeah. So I think people just like complaining for the sake of complaining, yes. And then they just hold these unrealistic expectations. Yeah, I know Batman the Animated Series is the greatest cartoon that ever lived.
And that's true, though.
So. Whatever. And that's fine, but it's a cart. Trying to do a live action, trying to compare it to a cartoon is insane. And you love the cartoon so much, watch the damn cartoon.
I would love, I don't know if it could ever happen now, I would love to see a Batman Animated, you know, Batman the Animated Series live version. That could possibly be the coolest thing they've done. And not have it tie into continuity or any of that crap. Just make it. I don't know how much that would cost. I mean, it's not a lot of CGI or anything.
You have to CGI that to death. Because just the whole mix, and that's like, you know, you got Batman was running around with IMAX, and they still had dirigibles. Like, you know, you had
state-of-the-art
computers and forensic machines. And people had prop, you know, some people had prop planes, and some people had Batman walking around with, you know, jets. So,
yeah.
But it fit because it was like timeless. They never said what time frame it was. It was just all this stuff was happening at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that'd be really cool to see. But anyways, I'm getting ahead anyways, because we're about to see a badass version come out next year. So, all right. I think we covered it. We did our usual complaining about people complaining for no reason. But yeah, when you get a chance, look up Captain America TV movie. It should give you a pretty good laugh. So, but all right, guys, I know we only talked about two trailers this time. We're gonna try and do at least, if not Wednesday, Thursday. It'd be great to be able to do two more this week to wrap up Comic-Con, because, you know, next week, you know, we'll be talking about Ant-Man, obviously. So we'll figure it out off air, but we'll be back again next week someday, hopefully Wednesday sometime. So usual plug, Stunt Granny, all social media, there you go. I'm going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time with our rundown of the Marvel previews. So I'll let you take us out, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and stop complaining about these great movies, you damn nerds. We are out.